Well, as we've been talking about this morning, 2019 has been a heck of a year for financial markets. Returns really stellar, particularly when you consider the depths we were back almost a year ago today, Christmas Eve last year, where the market was down about 20%. Of course, the question is now, it's 2020. What have you done for me lately? So what are we going to do next year? David Garrity, Chief Market Strategist from Laidlaw & Company, also a partner at BT Block. He joins us here in a Bloomberg Interactive Broker studio. David, so again, 2019, I think, snuck up on some people in terms of the performance. Even here in the last, you know, several weeks, several months, the upside is really, I think, snuck up on some people. How do you think we should be positioned for next year in terms of maybe our expectations for returns?
While in the markets, people like to focus on the economics. I think 2020 is a year of politics, given the U.S. general election, given obviously the impeachment trial, which is going to be in the offing. And our expectation is that, you know, the politics and the uncertainties associated with that, coupled with the fact of a, you know, perhaps 0.6 percentage point hit to U.S. GDP growth from the shutdown on the 737 MAX, probably give us a first half of the year, which is probably flat to possibly down. And we think that more of the returns for the year are going to be concentrated in the back half of the year, most likely in the form of a relief rally around the U.S. presidential election in November. So in this respect, coming out of 2019, our advice to investors is to certainly be very, very selective. We do think that we're still in an environment here where the long end of the Treasury curve is going to come in, probably from about the 1.92% level on the 10-year, maybe to about 1.25, 1.5.
Wow.
But we don't think necessarily that the Fed's in a position yet to cut rates, although I think that that's still going to be something to possibly support the market going into the election, to the extent that things slow.
Even if the data, and you know, Lisa and I, we argue about this all the time, she rejects, to use her word, my contention that maybe the data is coming, economic data is coming in better than expected. The consumer continues to be strong. We see stabilization in manufacturing and business investment. The trade deal gets cleaned up. There might be an argument to be made that this Fed could actually hike in 2020. Any risk to that, or is it just because it's an election year, you're just not going to see that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a strange set of dynamics here in terms of how the current administration is doing trade policy. And the focus for trade policy with the current administration wasn't just China. I mean, there's been more of a drum beating with respect to the European Union, the EU. And if we look at monetary policy in the EU, they really are sort of the locus globally with regards to negative interest rates. And you've seen the Swedish central bank, the Riksbank, pull back within the recent 2 weeks, moving off of a five-year experiment with negative interest rates. You know, obviously we may see this start to replicate itself more broadly across the EU. And much as the EU, in our view, led the Fed to cut rates in the second half of 2019, to the extent that the EU under Christine Lagarde of the ECB, under Christine Lagarde, decides to raise rates, I think the Fed is left in a situation where they have to follow.
Yeah, and that is not discounted. Would you agree?
I mean, I don't think it's discounted, but I also think at the same time that the ECB is going to have a difficult time based on the economics of what's going on within the EU around Brexit, in having an environment where they could consider actually tightening monetary policy. And maybe it only might be because the U.S. administration says that negative interest rates are a way of basically propping up an unfair trade advantage. But you know, there hasn't been a trade situation where the current administration has not seen an unfair advantage.
Exactly. Do you anticipate a phase one deal getting signed actually on a piece of paper at some point in the near to intermediate term?
It will be oft-rumored but seldom seen.
Right.
and our view is possibly not until sometime in 2020. But that doesn't mean that certain persons who are running for re-election won't be running around throwing out tweets and rumors about it. But the substance, I think, is going to be somewhat short.
So, all right, we're thinking about 2020. You know, people a lot have their 2020 outlooks and sectors and so on and so forth. It seems to me as we look back onto 2019, we had periods where the market seemed to be, you know, kind of rotating out of the cyclicals, maybe into the more defensive utilities, consumer staples. But then it seems like maybe we've kind of rotated back to a little bit more growth, a little bit more risk. What are the sectors that you think people should be focusing on for 2020?
Well, I think on the one hand, I mean, one of the major themes in terms of this market from the bottoms back in March of 2009 had been tech, tech, and more tech.
Right,
and then if you wanted to build wealth, you basically bought large cap U.S. tech. The question is, as we look at the election process, as we look at how things have evolved, not just on the federal level, but also on the state level and also overseas, greater rise in terms of regulation, which is going to impose more in the way of costs, and possibly have slower revenue growth for these names. So, you know, while this clearly has been the major wealth generator over the past decade, the question is, can we rely upon tech to continue to provide the same type of returns going into 2020? And I would argue it may be time to pull back. Granted, there have been concerns looking on a sector basis as to what's going to happen around healthcare policy, but we may actually end up, as we get greater clarity around the political situation, to see the underlying secular dynamics in terms of demographic profile changes, aging, driving greater demand in the healthcare sector, and that as a result, healthcare may not be a bad place to consider as things become clearer.
Right.
In
so
2020.
I guess obviously the issue with healthcare has historically been really over the last several years, but certainly going into this election cycle is just kind of the headline risk, the policy risk, the, you know, the Elizabeth Warren, the, you know, the Medicare for all type of thing. Is that something that the valuations they're paying you for that risk you're taking, do you think?
I think in some respects we've already had some of those risks discounted in the market, but I would say simply if we look at 2020, it's a year when technology or the tech sector goes into the regulatory woodshed,
yep,
and possibly the healthcare sector comes out.
It's interesting. I'm looking at the NYSE FANG index up about 40% this year alone, up about 47% on a trailing 12-month basis. And you're right. I think the big issue for a lot of investors is the story's great, the tech story writ large is great, but that regulatory risk hasn't really been with the U.S. tech stocks ever, arguably, but maybe it's starting to raise its head. So 2020, we're going to see more federal regulation of some of the tech sector. That is the big, I think, issue for tech investors.
And I think the pressure is that, as Bloomberg has highlighted in some of its stories, is that federal authorities are moving because they don't necessarily want to get ahead of what's going on at a state level, particularly in California.
Right.
They don't want state regulation to suddenly open up a situation where you have a balkanized regulatory environment. They want to assert federal authority.
Real quick, energy.
Well, I mean, in terms
talk
of
about a high risk, high return potentially.
The favorite exogenous shock scenario for any recession has always been a spike in oil prices. And given the dynamics unfolding in the Mideast, we've already had trouble in the Strait of Hormuz,
yep,
earlier this year with Iran and the Persian Gulf states and Saudi Arabia. I think going into an election, sometimes there's nothing better for people to do than to declare a war.
exactly.
But I don't,
yep,
necessarily want to call, you know, those in the office now as warmongers, but
right,
you know, things don't look good.
Yep, exactly. All right, energy, always, it's not for the faint of heart, certainly. David Garrity, Chief Market Strategist for Laidlaw & Company and partner at BT Block. Give us his thoughts on the market after what's been a fantastic year for most asset classes in 2019, both equity, fixed income, several of the commodities also posting strong gains. The question is, how are you positioned for 2020?